Speaking.
I'm standing outside Tanchiti Dum, or the Dancing House, which is on the waterfront of the Vltava River, pretty much in the centre of Prague. This is quite an unusual building for the centre of Prague because it's a modern building. It was designed by the Californian architect Frank O'Gary. The spot on which it's built was bombed by Allied troops by mistake, who mistook Prague for Dresden. And this place remained empty, an empty spot until after the Velvet Revolution. It's actually situated right next to the flat of Václav Havel, the dissident turned president, or the former flat, I believe. And for a long time, Václav Havel hoped that this spot would be built up, that something unusual and interesting would be built here. He hoped for a house of culture of sorts. That didn't quite turn out to be the case. It's in fact an office building. But the point is that this is one of only very, very few new buildings in Prague which could be said to be of any kind of architectural distinction. It divided people when it was first built, shortly after the revolution. Some people loved it, others hated it. So what I'm looking at in the program today is, why is there not more interesting new architecture in Prague? I went to visit architectural expert Zdeněk Lukeš in his office within Prague Castle, the location being an example of the classical architecture that Prague is famous for. And I began by asking him whether the historical core of the city actually negated new and interesting architecture from cropping up.
I think that it is possible to have new and quality architecture in the center of Prague. The Dancing House is one example that worked very well, and I think that similar buildings should appear around the historical core. But sadly, there is very little of this at the moment.
And what is his assessment of the current state of new architecture in Prague?
Sadly, the majority of new buildings in Prague are decidedly average. There are a number of reasons why. The population is very conservative, and add to that the very bad experiences of the communist times when many buildings were in a state of disrepair. Other areas, such as Žižkov, were leveled to the ground to make way for panel apartment buildings, so people remain wary and kind of blame the architects as being responsible for the devastation of that era.
Yet, perhaps ironically, it is some of the more striking communist-era architecture that can be described as the most interesting, even 20 years after the Velvet Revolution. One such example is the notorious television tower, a huge structure built in order to drown out Western transmissions. A few years ago, artist David Chedney added a modern twist with the placement of several baby-like figures crawling up the structure. It was a very rare example of overt modernism in this conservative city. I met with David Chedney in a noisy pub and asked for his take on Prague's modern architecture.
In a certain way, it is sort of like a public scare of something new. When the mind of the people were distracted for 40 years by the Russian way of thinking, the import of the Russian way of building stuff and the Russian way of building, I'm talking about what really was happening in Russia. Of course, they were infected, and you won't wipe it out within 10 years.
There is also a clear generational divide, which has been highlighted by the controversy over the proposed blob design of the new National Library. Simply put, most young people are for it, while older people are largely opposed. Added together, all this would seem to suggest that, compared to, say, Berlin, with its overtly classical meets modernist approach, Prague's artists and architects face an uphill struggle. David Chedney again.
I know that in Berlin and in metropolis, it's much easier to work, and the projects which people are trying to do are welcomed, because the government and the city government knows that they have to attract people to come there. There is no conception to attract people to come here. And of course, the tourist number is falling.
I asked Chedney why so many of Prague's new buildings appear to be what critics would describe as boring, identikit glass and steel.
Those buildings are basically done for getting the money back in 5 years, and that's it. maybe 7 years, maybe five. And of course, if the developer knows that he has to pay, I don't know how much, you know, to get the building permission and everything. So it's just everything's connected, and it's really like rotten.
So, aside from the dancing house, are there actually any notable post-communist buildings in Prague at all? I put this question to Zdeněk Lukáš.
Certainly the most interesting new buildings in Prague are those designed by renowned foreign architects. Nouvel's Golden Angel is one such example. This is an office complex which was built around 8 years ago in Smíchov and was designed by the renowned French architect Jean Nouvel. But in this case, you can kind of tell that they didn't have enough money and that they were trying to cut back on costs.
Mr. Lukáš also cited two other examples.
Another interesting building is Corso in the Karlín district of Prague. The Spanish architect Ricardo Bofill built a new high-tech interior within the area of an old factory building, and this led to an interesting tension between the old architecture and the new. Also in Karlín, there's an interesting new administrative building called Danube, which is shaped like a steamboat and lies right by the Vltava River. This was designed by the well-known architects Kohn Pedersen Fox.
David Černý, who himself came up with some of Prague's more historically symbolic iconography, such as the Trabant with legs and the Soviet tank painted pink, both of which were ultimately and sadly removed from their respective locations, is openly contemptuous of the people whose responsibility it is to shape Prague's architectural outlook.
Prague 5 is a typical example how the architecture works. That was a big development site, of course. And instead of doing something interesting, they just gave it to whatever kind of developers. And it was a huge area.
And Černý has another example, that of the Dívčí hrady Prokopské údolí, a revered green area just outside Prague.
Like the last beautiful green part of the city, very exceptional. They're trying to change it into a building site, which is totally unacceptable. Well, typical example of the arrogance. Of course, they get thousands of protests. They don't care.
So, in the end, does it all really come down to a lack of vision?
Of course, there is no, I mean, like, vision here. Jesus, you must be kidding. They don't know what this world means.